wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a couple of long, slow weeks for us, but we at the Gridiron Guys are here, back again. Cam, how you been? It's been a while since I've seen you. Well, actually, almost a week and a bit, I suppose, ever since your grand final win in the touch footy the other week.
Yeah, look, we're coming off a high. We're still celebrating. That's why we haven't been involved in this. But no, we have been on a bit of a hiatus lately. We're sort of trying to find our times and get it right. But yeah, apologies. I've let the ball slip and fumbled it, but we're back on board now.
Well, that's not too bad. I mean, you got stuff going on. You got your kid and that. And then I just busted my hammy the other week and that threw me out into disarray. Like, I tell you what, I tried coming back to training the other week as well. Absolute shit show. And, you know, for anyone out there who's starting pre-season, don't do it before Christmas. It's a bad idea. Just put the hammies away, put your feet up, really settle yourself into a few Friday Arvo Bevs and just think about it in January, maybe even February, if I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to go back for a while.
Yeah, all the good work gets undone very quickly over Christmas. I think people are kidding themselves when they're turning up before Christmas thinking they're going to get something out of it. Nah.
Yeah, but Chaffy, if you're listening, my hammies are made of steel if you can get me to the SEC.
Yeah. Oh, look, we're every chance still. I think there's some older blokes getting up there. So big signings coming up.
Nah, but a huge couple of weeks, I think, wrapping up. Everyone sort of saw. Last week was actually the finishing of Fantasy. Everyone had been tucking into that. And we have slipped in. We're in the Aussie NFL Content League. There's shows like the Aussie NFL Fantasy, Manjot, a few of those other guys. Sorry, names escape me. But look, I think we ended up coming third, I think, after a bit of a tumultuous year with injuries for us.
Yeah, look, we're one of those teams that sort of set and forget. We pick our team, we think, we'll back them to the hills, and we barely made any changes over the course of the year. There's probably a couple of changes we made that actually played in our favour. We lost to, it was 1-2 matchup in the last round against Taylor from the Aussie NFL Fantasy Show, and we went down, I think, only by a couple of points. We were a bit fortunate that he had an injury in the last game, Ramondre Stevenson, but a couple of selections. J.K. Dobbins was sitting on IR, so that hurt us. But yeah, we're sitting third. We come into the playoffs with a bit of steam. I think looking at our team, we're going to have to make a few adjustments here. For anyone playing at home, we've got decisions between quarterback of Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins. So we're not really setting the fire in the quarterback market, are we?
No, I think Kirk's actually been quite an underachiever when you look at it, because he hasn't thrown too many picks this year. But he's been quietly working away with the Vikings, because when they have a good game, they have an outstanding one, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And then, look, Herbert has been on and off, but again, quietly racking up some TDs, I think. But also, he's had a few inconsistencies with sacks and interceptions and things like that. So, I don't know. It's sort of like mid-table. It's our rushing attack that's been absolutely delightful this year. Guys like Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, they're always good. Picked up Mostert, but we had Patterson, Dobbins, and a few other guys. And then you're looking at the wideouts. That's where it is. Jamar Chase, I think he's number one in fantasy points. Keenan Allen was out for a while, but it's been Amon-Ra St. Brown. Hey, that kid is an absolute freak of nature, isn't he?
Oh, mate, he's so good. I think that was a great one that we got. There's a couple else that, like, yeah, we've sort of picked up and just as hopefuls. Christian Watson, who's been elite lately, and Chris Olave, who's probably him or Garrett Wilson's probably offensive player of the year for me, rookie of the year. Yeah, I guess that gives us the biggest decision of trying to pick the team that's going forward. I think we've got big decisions to make this week. Nick Chubb's been one that's been pretty disappointing lately, especially since Deshaun started. I guess we'll get onto the Browns soon because we haven't really talked about Deshaun. But ever since Deshaun's come into the lineup, no Brissett, I think Chubb's really kind of slowed down, and then they've got to face Baltimore this week. So that's a bit of a tough pick.
Their whole offense has sort of faltered, hasn't it? I think they've really been trying to push, get his confidence back to Sean, that is, and just really give him the ball and a lot of reps. But, and I mean, it's to be expected. He's been out for about, almost 2 years now. He's had a lot going on in the background. And, you know, the fact that the guy probably just reeks of DP'd all the time from those massages, I think that might be seeping into his skin a little bit. So I can't blame him for missing a few throws here and there and probably not handing it off to our boy, probably a bit more. But I think Because he is going to get pressured a lot, let's be honest. And he should probably lean on our man, Chubb. Look, big credit to him. He's still been popping up some decent yards, but, yeah, would love to see him some more with him.
Yeah, oh, me too. So the first week, what do we got? 12 from 22, 131 yards and intercept in a win against the Texans, which is, I mean, for anyone playing home, that's not really a big win. Then they've come up against the Bengals and got Deuce there. He's gone, what, he's thrown 42 times, 26 completions, 276 yards, a touchdown and an intercept. And Chubb's only gone for 34 yards. So, I mean, the offense really isn't humming.
No, it's getting nothing at all. And I think everyone's sort of calling for Brissett to come back because obviously he did all right with the Browns. Like, they weren't world beaters, but he was at least performing consistently. But I think you always knew this was going to happen. Like, when they signed him at the start of the year, you knew this was going to be a risk taker. One, it was always going to take him a while to bounce back. Two, because, you know, he just sat out a whole year and did fuck all. And then two, you know, he's coming into a new system. That's always tough. And then, as we sort of said, three, there's all that background shit going on. So, you know, it's really easy to think that these guys are just going to add some reps for the rest of the year, and they're probably not going to challenge at all, especially in that competitive division of yours.
Yeah, well, that's it. And look, it's a long-term play for them, I suppose. Like, they've given up, I mean, they've given up a few first-round picks, didn't they? Like, I think Texans will clean up, like, from this. I think they've got, obviously, their first-round pick plus, which is going to be number one, and then they're going to get the Browns' first-round pick. I mean, there's a few teams that have fallen in their laps this year with trades that we already have talked about. But, I mean, they've got to stick with him. They've paid him all this guaranteed money. Do you see this playing out long-term, or is that contract just ridiculous?
Oh, the contract's ridiculous 100%, but I think that it pays off for them eventually. Like, they've been able to take sort of shit stains like Baker Mayfield and that out to the playoffs. So, well, actually, credit to Baker. He played well one game, but that's one-off. But I think they've got a decent area around him, and they're slowly building. He's going to come good. I'm backing him to come good. He's just obviously got to sort his home shit out and obviously, like, stay away from the physio at the facilities. But other than that, I think he's got a good chance.
Yeah, the massage table's going to get a red hot workout. But yeah, look, I think he's got some tough games coming down the stretch. I think he's got the Ravens this week, which, I mean, our defense is playing very well. So he's going to have his work cut out for him. But you did mention just before Baker Mayfield. Now, It's interesting. He did lead. We saw that he led the Rams to a come-from-behind win, which is credit to him. He played excellent. He'd barely been in the system for more than a week, and he's led him to a win. And it's funny. Like, we talk about him being shit-ass at the Browns. Now, yeah, he wasn't excellent, and he was not great at the Panthers either. But I guess let's look at the history of the Browns. I know they built a bit of a team around him, but he got the Browns to winning seasons. He also had a playoff win in his career. He's not, like, for me, I don't, like, he's not great, but I don't think he's as horrendous as people think. Like, the Panthers, I mean, they're winning now, but they're a team that seems to kill quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are just going there to die at the moment.
Yeah, they've got nothing going on for them, Panthers. Like, nothing offensively, no help from the outside. You can tell that these guys, like, really have no confidence in their game, and they just get given nothing, really. And you can see that, by the way, that they traded away Christian McCaffrey as well, that they're just sort of like, look, we don't care about this anymore. For me, Baker, look, yes, he's a good quarterback here and there, but that's when everything goes for him, right? Like, you can see when the chips are down, he loses it. And I think that game against the Raiders, he started out okay, you know, his first drive, he went out, they got a field goal, but it was those resulting drives where he just looked awful, to be honest. He was in and out, and everyone looks at the stat lines and goes, oh, he had a good game. And, like, yeah, he did statistically. Yeah. But against the fucking Las Vegas Raiders side, which is horrendous, they gave him so many shots at it. You know, I mean, all they had to do was score 17 points. So, and he did it in the last 4 minutes. So, again, credit to him for those last 4 minutes, but there is another 56 that he's got to learn how to play.
Yeah, look, that's a very good point. Yeah, you can look at it from a lens of, yeah, they got the win, he drove them home, and his stats don't look bad. But, yeah, you're right. Like, in terms of the preceding drives before that, like, yeah, he did look pretty shoddy. I suppose the next few weeks will be, I mean, they're not playing for anything. I mean, they're probably playing to try and get the Rams Lions a shitter draft pick. That's probably the only thing they're playing for at the moment.
That's all they've got, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, correct. And they're in a bit of a hole next year. I think they are their dead cap their money over the roster next year. If Aaron Donald sticks around, which I don't know if he will, what for the Rams next year? They've got a lot of money tied up in a few people, and they obviously haven't got any draft picks. So I don't know where that goes for them.
They've got nothing. They've got to take the hit. I think if Aaron Donald, who you would have assumed this would have been his last year prior to injury, whether he comes back or not for one more go around, I'm not sure. I'd say probably he will because, you know, he wants to get in one last good season.
Yep.
That would just be my vibe. But between them, I think they've just got to run through. They just need Stafford, Cup, all back healthy, and they can play to, like, be above 500. But I don't think they'll be able to push for the heights that they did at the Super Bowl. No way. And without, like, they won't have any collateral for the next at least 4 or 5 years to be able to work with.
No, they've really burned the match at both ends. So, yeah, look, Baker's probably not as good as people are trying to make him out to be, but I'm impressed with how he showed out for the first match.
No, because as you said, it doesn't really matter. All you can just be like is come up and you got to win the game. And that's what he did. So I think credit to him there. But when it comes down to it, I don't see him being able to work in the clutch when the pressure comes to him. And I think that Raiders defense has only looked again good in one game this year, and that was against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, it certainly was. So probably looking at teams down the list here, I'm sort of looking at results from the last week, and I feel like there's a few fraudulent teams sitting in the top half of the table that are fighting for playoff spots. Vikings, for me, is one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cowboys almost had a bit of a scare. Titans are one that, for me, is just like put a line through them. I think they're done. Is there anyone else or who you think, like, you can look at now who are sitting at the top of the table who are going to play playoffs who you can almost rule out now?
Look, probably I don't want to lean in, stick the boot into them too much, but probably the Dolphins as well. I think, look, for me, they'll be a good team and they may be able to jag one win, but I think just in the playoffs, when it's going to be that sort of tough footy and they're not going to have it all their way, you can really see, especially these last couple of weeks, Tua's inconsistencies are showing out.
Yeah.
Look, he's a great quarterback. I think he's done really well to turn his season around, like his career around, sorry.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not into that next level that someone say, like, even, I mean, I think Jalen Hurts has turned his around amazingly and he's shown that he can sort of battle with the tough ones. Yeah, he had one or two bad games, but he's been able to cover his inconsistencies and, you know, move forward and at least get the team going. Whereas, like, Tua has faltered these last 2 or 3 weeks and the Dolphins have suffered at a hole. Like, they just cannot get anything going. There's no rushing, no receiving, no one's getting anything. You can see Tyreek is, you know, doing his best out there.
Yeah.
But even he can't cover for these mistakes.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's a funny one, I suppose. Tua was the hottest name in the market for a little while there. Like, people were saying, oh, how good is he? I think if you give a lot of the quarterbacks that are playing in the NFL, and we talked about this before, there's NFL starting quarterbacks. Like, these guys are all genuinely good players. Put him in the right situation. I mean, Baker's gone in a different situation, won himself a game. But, I don't know if it's situational. Like, yeah, he's playing really well, but give someone else those weapons, give someone else that line. What else could they do with it?
Yeah, exactly. And I just think recently they've, you know, hit a snag and that's fine. That's going to happen on every championship team. And I think if they want to get better, they've got to get over this hump and see if they can make it into the playoffs, but which they will. But I think when it comes to wins, I can't see them getting away with it.
No, neither can I. Now, you posed a question to me before the start and it was something to do with quarterbacks and where you draft them.
So looking at all these guys that have come through big recently, I mean, we've got to look at, that was the 2020 draft, right?
Yeah.
Let me just pull it up on my phone. Yeah. So if you're looking to redraft the 2022, you've got Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts. Who would go number one for you if we did a redraft?
Fuck. It should be simple. Like, I think the only thing that plays on my mind is how well, like, Hurts is going. But again, we've just talked about situational plays and where people are landed. Like, Micah Parsons talked during the week, people saying, Jalen Hurts is the MVP. And he goes, well, is it him or is it the team? I guess it poses that question of, is it the team creating the success of this guy? And look, he's doing a phenomenal job. But I still fight over this between Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is excellent. I think he's sort of bought his time here. They've got a new line and they've sort of come into their own. They're actually starting to play really good football. I'd probably take Burrow one. I'd take Herbert two. And then I'm actually torn between Tua and Hurts. Hurts has been excellent this year, but I'm still not sure. Like, I think looking at the teams that they're playing for, you probably could flip a coin on these two for me. I don't know what I'd do with them. What would you go?
Yeah, I'd get Burrow one easy. He's just an out-and-out baller. That guy has that dog in him. He's so good. But no, I'd go Hurts too. Absolutely. Okay. The way that he's playing right now, he's just looking way better, more comfortable. He's rolling with it at the moment. I like the way that he's going through the air, on the ground. Justin Herbert, I think, yes, his situation is not as great, but I think just at the moment in his progression is not as good as Hurts. Like Hurts's progression has been outstanding like recently. Yeah. I'd even say that Herbert has been quiet enough to get almost overtaken by Tua, but just over these last couple of weeks in inconsistencies, I'd probably rank Herbert third, Tua fourth.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably fair. It's hard, for me, it's hard with Herbert. I think he's got weapons. But as you've said before, like Staley's playbook is absolute dog shit.
He's a moron. I don't know what he's correct. Doing. Let the man uncork. Like, yeah. What is this guy doing? He's trying to cage a lion here.
Yeah, 100% he is. And you've talked about before, they play the analytics, and that's pretty much what the Chargers do. And their line hasn't been great with some injuries. So, yeah, look, I don't know. Herbert's a weird one for me. I still think he's... In terms of ceiling, potentially got the highest ceiling there out of him in terms of pure quarterback. But whether we see that in the system that he's in, I don't know. So, yeah, look, that's actually a really tough one. But I think Burrow sits at the top now, and I think he's going to sit there for quite a while.
Burrow sits at the top easily, and you can see the way that he's sort of come back. He's playing lights out with Cincinnati. He's going to come through, and he made that Super Bowl. Like, you can't discount that. Yes, we said it's probably a bit fluky. But he got there. He beat the guys on the day. He beat the Chiefs on their day in their home ground. Like, you can't discount that sort of stuff in this day and age.
No, and it's funny with them. I think, what are they, 3-0 against the Chiefs since Burrow's time? But yeah, on the reverse side of it, he has never beaten the Cleveland Browns, which I don't know what it is. They've got the wood over him, but that he cannot get a victory over the Browns.
It's just something about it. Sometimes there's nothing that you can do, but they got the bunny on you.
Yeah, well, that's it. Sometimes it's just pure matchups, and it's strange that sometimes matchups just don't work in your favor.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry about that, though. My speaker went out, but we're back. We're good. Anyways, wait. Let's move on to the next thing. What did you got next? I'm lost here.
That's okay. I don't know.
Now, we're going to, what do you think about Brock Purdy actually coming in? Let's talk about him, because, my God, like, one, he came in that first week. Okay, sure. He's running on the adrenaline. He's on basically like a sugar high to win that game. Then he actually starts last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and actually fucking balls out. Holy dooly.
Good. Real good. This is the Iowa State product, isn't it? Brock Purdy, yeah. Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant. The first ever, like he is the last pick in the draft. He's the first last pick in the draft to ever win a game, ever can throw a TD, what have you.
Because these, game. Yeah, that's right.
These blokes like don't even see the field half the time. It's ridiculous. But this man has gone out and absolutely just ended Tom Brady's career. That was a schmozzle.
Yeah, well, I think he's the first rookie to ever get a win against Tom Brady as well. I know Brady's fading, but I mean, it's a funny one, because I was going to ask this a little bit further in. Who is, I guess, for me, 49ers are one of these teams, but there's probably a couple of teams at the moment. Is someone that you wouldn't want to be facing come the end of towards this season? I think 49ers and Bengals are probably the two for me at the moment. But yeah, 49ers, we thought down and out. Jimmy Garoppolo's down. Trey Lance is down. We got Brock Purdy sitting under center, and they still look excellent.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, it's so good. The kid comes out, and I mean, talking about it coming out and playing on like basically just a bunch of adrenaline, but he actually went out and I watched that game, and he seriously looked so comfortable in that pocket. He made the right reads and he just did the simple things right. And that's all you have to do, like not complicate this game. He didn't get overawed in the situation. And I think one of the interesting things you heard about them talking is he actually comes in and he has like a commanding presence. You know, these other guys around him want to follow him. Those guys believe in him and they want to follow him. So they get out and they play better. And he's just doing the simple things right. And I think it's really rewarding him. And he's going to go on and, you know, once one of the other guys come out, he's going to get shunted back to probably QB2 or something like that. But until then, he can make a name for the 49ers and push them towards playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, like the amount of quarterback twos, and you don't think about it during the season when your quarterback's humming, you've got no injuries. But when the system falls down, you get an injury and you're coming into quarterback two, quarterback three, like you need someone that's actually half decent out there that can command a game. I mean, Ravens went down to Anthony Brown the other week and still got the victory. But if he starts this week, I don't see us winning. But Tyler Huntley, again, is another one that's just doing good things. Mike White's another one. I think there's a couple of guys out there that probably are never going to be quarterback one ever in their life as a genuine starter, but making a name for themselves.
Yeah, like we need those kind of guys rather than like bringing out Colt McCoy every second week when someone goes down. Like, did you see that shit show, the Cardinals versus the Pats? Oh my God.
Horrible.
Like, I know they talk about it might be the offensive calling, but Mac Jones is stinking at the moment. Like, and then you've got Kyler Murray going down with that ACL or MCL or ACL or something like that. And then Colt fucking McCoy still seems to poke his head around. He's just a genuine journeyman, isn't he?
Oh, he clogged this left, right, and center. Yeah, they're in all sorts. I mean, they're sitting at 4-9 at the moment, and Colt McCoy is going to be your quarterback to lead him into the end of the season. So, look, they're looking to get a draft pick. New England, on the other hand, I don't know where their future lies at quarterback. Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, where to from here?
I think it's probably Mac Jones, to be honest. Zappy was all right, and I got to be honest, he was good. He had flashes of brilliance, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah,
but I think for what kind of football they want to play in New England, it suits Mac Jones better. And I think they're just working out the kinks at the moment. Whoever's running the offensive play calling, I think Belichick may need to take control of that and sort of change shift a little bit, because that's just, it's not humming at the moment. And you've got to get that back on track, because that's what New England ball does. You know, these guys go out, they play good, hard, honest football. No tricks, no flashy stuff. It's just move the chains, wear you down, run and grind. And I think Mac Jones can provide that, you know, whereas Bailey Zappi, I see as a more flashier guy. He's going to go out, he's going to toss pigskin. You know, I'd see him flourish under like an Andy Reid or something, or like at the Buffalo Bills, you know. Like a Brandon Staley or a Mike McDaniel kind of person.
Definitely.
But, you know, for someone like out at New England, who I don't want to say is plain and boring, but they are. I see like Mac Jones flourishing under that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Look, I don't know what the success plan is for them. I don't know whether they just stick with Jones until the bitter end, but the progression for him, I don't see continuing.
Yeah, it's interesting. But look, on the other side as well, we did mention Cardinals, Kyler Murray. I think looking at this injury for his, he's obviously going to be out for like 6 to 9 months or whatever.
Yeah.
I think this is probably a good thing for him. You know, obviously, he's got to come back from this, and it's a very hard injury to come back from. But you've seen these NFL guys. They can really work their bodies back and things. But Kyler Murray is in a rut this year, and I think getting this injury is probably going to be a silver lining for him, to be honest, because he's going to be able to go away, work on everything that he's got, and actually probably spend some time playing Warzone as well without ruining film. And he'll be able to come back probably bigger and better. And I think it's probably just going to be just one of those things where you step away from a game and you just refresh yourself, and that's what I see him doing.
Yeah, look, it's actually not a bad shout there. Like, obviously, you don't wish an injury upon anyone, and it's going to be a tough road to recovery for him, and he's going to spend plenty of time on the couch with the Xbox. But, yeah, he definitely hit a slump this year. I guess we kind of thought, oh, the Cardinals will progress. Cardinals started like a house on fire last year. They kind of tailed off. They looked all right this year. Steroid boy DeAndre Hopkins made his way back, and they started looking a little bit better. But, yeah. I don't know. The people keep raving about Murray, and then you hear like they just sort of everyone gets on the man of the moment. Justin Fields was the man of the moment for a little bit. Now I don't know who it is, but Murray signed a big contract. So, I mean, the Cardinals have got to stick with that. You're not doing much else other than that.
No, number one pick too. I mean, that's it. As you said, everyone's hot on the man of the moment. It's the TikTok generation. We've only got a 6 second attention span. So. But look, as I said, he walks away and hopefully comes back from it for the better. Colt McCoy gets his last chance to shine and probably journeyman himself to another football team next year. But speaking of coming back from injuries, probably the last person to touch on in the NFL, it'll be OBJ. Obviously, there was big talk about him going to the Cowboys, but now that's all shifted. The goalposts keep changing. What's your initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I suppose what came out with them is he didn't pass the medical, and they said the knee's just going to explode. Like, I mean, surely before he even sees a medical, he's gone and seen other professionals. He's gone and seen his surgeon and stuff like that. Like, surely that's not the first time someone's gone and seen him and gone, yeah, okay, your knee's absolutely cooked. You're not going to last a season. And then someone came out saying they knew he wasn't going to last a season with the Rams, and they knew it was going to blow out eventually. Like,
this sitting surprise him
on a crash
you?
Course. Well, no, that's right. And it sets him on a crash course for failure, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, it still won him a ring, but I'm not surprised by this, and I'm not surprised by him flirting with the idea of coming back, because it's all me, it's all me, OBJ, I'm the one in the headlights, I get to ramp up the deals or whatever. And then it really feels like he was always talking about, like, if he was going to come back, he was just going to come back for playoffs. And I think that's a really interesting thing for you to put yourself out there for, because it kind of seems like he's not up to the rigors of playing a full 17 game season anymore. Like, he's obviously body shot, and he's not interested in, you know, he's only wants to play playoffs and that's it. So he's ring chasing, which is fine, you know, / money chasing, but he literally cannot handle the rigors of a 17 game season.
No, he definitely can't. The body's not going to hold up to it. Now, look, it was a clear sign when the Cowboys signed T.Y. Hilton during the week that they've definitely moved on from the whole OBJ.
Yeah, OBJ thing. From Wish.
Yeah. Well, Greg, you did send that during the week, and I rated that. T.Y. Hilton kind of just disappeared off the face of the earth. He was unbelievable for the Colts for years, and then we haven't seen anything, have we?
Well, ever since Andrew Luck retired, that whole franchise has been going down the gurgler.
Yeah, the Colts, that's just another story. But in terms of OBJ, yeah, look, I mean, it's as annoying as it is, I'm sick of us being linked to him. Like, every single post on the fan pages go to, it's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to sell an OBJ. Like, the rumors are true, we're going to get OBJ. It's like, is it going to benefit us that much? I mean, possibly, but it's just, there's a lot that rides on it.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't benefit you at all, to be honest. I think he's obviously going to add something in the slot. I think that's all he can really provide, and just take away cornerbacks, double teams and things like that. And then it's like getting the tall guy in basketball, you know, the tall uncoordinated kid, and you just don't let him warm up. And then that way they just double team him and your small guys run around and do all the work. It's just an absolute ruse. That's what he's going to be. And then everyone's going to figure him out. So no wonder he only wants to play playoffs, because then no one's going to have any film on him.
No, yeah, this is very true. So, yeah, look, that saga continues. It may continue on to next year in the free agency. He may not see a team or land anywhere this year. But, yeah, look, it's an interesting one. And I suppose that leads us on to, I mean, week 15. We've got 4 weeks to go. Playoffs are kind of starting to rear their head. There's teams that are really fighting for it. I suppose there's top of the table, and then there's sort of a lot of teams that are fighting for those last few playoff spots. Looking at the games this week, is there anything that sort of jumps out to you that has implications?
Look, 100% first cap off the rank tomorrow morning. We're recording this on the Thursday night whilst watching some Big Bash League. Shout out to the Heat for blowing another good batting lineup. Look, 49ers and Seahawks, that's always going to be a good game. Seahawks have come out of nowhere with Geno this year, but I think 49ers just have a great team. They'll be without Debo through injury, but the way that Christian McCaffrey's playing now, and he's really settled in, quite happy to see how these guys will go, because and this is again another one of those rivalry games where no matter where these guys are on the ladder, always fireworks.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I guess for a few weeks there, we thought the West was kind of settled. The Seahawks were looking pretty good. Now they've had a bit of an up and down last few weeks. I think, 49ers should take the West. Seattle might find themselves, playoff pitchers not great in the NFC, because we know the Giants are just falling out the arse end, because they were 6-1 and now they're 7-5-1 after the last few weeks. So they're falling out the back door. So they're probably still sitting in a decent place to make playoffs. But yeah, I'm not sure what happened to Seattle.
I think it was always going to happen. Like, they were sort of running, they were playing well, don't get me wrong. But I think, like, the inconsistencies of Geno Smith, as much as I said, all he said was, I just decided not to throw many interceptions. I think that eventually caught up to him. Because, you know, old habits do die hard. So, and like long-term, their offense really has nothing. Like, they have no rushing attack. They've got Tyler Lockett, who's really aging, and then DK Metcalf, who just pops up every now and again. But I think outside of that, they really have, I mean, they got a few tight ends and things like that, but realistically, they have no spark. And I think once you're going through the stretch of a 17-game season, it is hard to keep that up and you know, just keep that consistency rolling.
Yeah, it's very true. So we may see a bit of a fall off there, but yeah, they've really made some inroads this year into sort of rebuilding. Now, looking a little bit down the list, we talked about the Dolphins before. They play the Bills this week. Now, Bills are obviously favorite. It's probably going to be freezing cold. I think the Dolphins played with a heater on their sideline when they're in LA. So
yeah,
they're going to absolutely struggle in the freezing cold of Buffalo. Now, this may have playoff implications. They're currently sixth, sitting at 8-5. New England is sitting just behind them, as well as the Chargers and the Jets on 7-6. So that can really push them quickly out of the playoffs if a couple of those teams win this week, and can see them go out the back door pretty fast. So, I mean, Dolphins lose for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Bills win, and they win well, and they wrap up their division. This pretty much sets them on course to win their division.
Yeah, absolutely. There is actually one, and we probably wouldn't have said this at the start of the season. There's two teams really fighting for a playoff spot playing each other this week, Jets, Lions. This makes for an absolute blockbuster, one that we'd never say. I mean, Lions are sitting just outside the playoff contention at 6-7. The Jets, as we said before, are 7-6. Now, they're both very good chances of making the playoffs at the current rate. Where do you see this one going?
I'm going to lean towards the Lions, man. I just like what they're putting up, their offensively output. Oh, we know their defense is shocking, so it could be a way that, and I believe Mike White's starting again, but this could be a way for Mike White to really have like a dangerous game. But I think just this high powered offense, they're going to score too many points. It'll be like a 38-40 type game or something with the Lions getting the W.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's actually funny. This week weirdly has some really good contests. The Panthers are a team that are actually still capable of winning their own division with Tampa Bay. They're 5-8. They've won their last few games. They come up against the Steelers, who are looking pretty shit ass with the MVP or even Kenny Pickett, who was concussed last week.
I think Trubisky will play this week by the looks. Yeah. He got absolutely drilled. Like, the poor man's soul left his body after that.
Yeah, he got rocked big time. But the Panthers sitting at 5-8. They're second in their division. Tampa Bay are 6-7. So there's only one game difference. Tampa Bay play the Bengals this week. So we could see the Carolina Panthers sitting at 6-8 after this weekend in the top four, ready for the playoffs.
Oh, and they get to host. It is, but I mean, this is what happened with the NFC East a couple of years ago. So I mean, it's just surprising that it swung over to a division like that.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. So look, there's some great games this week. Cowboys Jaguars is one. Jaguars are sort of making. I mean, I guess before we go into that, Trevor Lawrence. The last few weeks, have we seen the ascension of him and seen him actually hit the peak that we expected of him?
Oh, like seen this guy. So since week 9, 72% completion percentage, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Like, it was only a matter of time. I mean, you don't call him a once in generation for nothing. Like, we're not throwing that around every year for the QBs. Like, CJ Stroud is not a once in a generation. Trevor Lawrence was a once in a generation.
He was. Yeah, I kind of doubted him for a little while. And you've always been consistent with him. You've always stuck by him and said, like, this guy is just, he is one of these guys and he's going to be around for a while. And it's just taken a little while. I mean, the team he's on, plus it's taken a while for him to click. But shit. It's clicked. Like, this guy is looking electric. He's just zipping it around the park really nicely. Jaguars look really nice with him. So, I mean, they're not they probably don't play playoffs this year. They're a chance still, but next few years, geez, look out.
Yeah, absolutely. If they keep building, that team could be hard to see. Look, probably, as you said, another one that we were always going to miss out, Giants Commanders, massive playoff implications. The whole of the NFC East, I think, is in playoff contention, but this would probably knock one of them off. I, as you said, Giants stink lately. I'm over them as much as they were cool since the start of the year. My 6-second attention span has gotten over them, and now I'm onto the Commanders, and I'm a big fan of what Heineke's doing out there. So I'm really excited to see them get the W this week.
Yeah, I actually think you're right there. I think they're going to sneak in, and I think they're going to play playoffs this year, as you've just mentioned. And I don't mind them. I think they could do a little bit of damage come the end of the season. They're one of these guys that you don't want to catch at the end of the season. Just when you're having a bit of a shit game, these guys could just get a sniff and get going.
Yeah, catch up on you and you won't even know what hit you. So, look, that probably wraps it up. There's a good couple of games as well. It's going to be on the Sunday because, obviously, college football's done. We had Championship Sunday the other week. Unfortunately, there were some big losses, which really hurt my sports betting account. But the exciting thing was all the award winners. Speaking of college football, Caleb Williams, Heisman winner. It was always going to happen. When you sort of saw the finalists and we saw guys like Hendon Hooker and Blake Corum left out, you know, like Max Duggan had an okay year, but TCU really carried him. Yeah. And I saw him fluctuating games and things like that. Stetson Bennett should not have been there. We all know that for sure. He's just basically being carried by Georgia. And look, CJ Stroud had a great year. There's no doubt, but he certainly wasn't climbing to the heights that he was last year.
No, it was a far and away, for me, a far and away win there. Once, as you said, you saw the top four, I thought you may as well hand the man the trophy already. Like, he's what Maxwell Award as the best player in the country, as well as the Heisman. Thoroughly deserved. Now, is he committing to the draft or will he go around another year?
No, he's only a sophomore, so he has to have one more year.
He cannot. Okay, gee whiz.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, you've got this kid that is like, who's the best player, almost the best player in the country last year as a freshman, came on in that Oklahoma side, followed Lincoln Riley across. He's absolutely dominated in his sophomore year. And I think that's why it hurts so much that he lost the same team twice. Like, but he was real gutsy in that Pac-12 game. And I think that sort of really set the tone for what this guy can achieve going forward.
Yeah, 100%. This guy's an absolute star. Look, we're going to see him as a top pick coming the year after, unless something dire happens. Like, this guy's an absolute star. And there'll be teams tanking for him next year, won't there?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's no way he plays his 4 years out. I cannot see that happening. Like, he's just going to be way too good a pickup. And the other couple of guys, like, I think CJ comes through this year. There's obviously Bryce Young, who'd be this year, you'd think, as well.
Yeah.
There's obviously a couple other guys floating around. I know that, like, JT Daniels has just tried to go to the transfer portal again to get onto, like, his fourth team.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Caden Slovis is floating around as well. I think Brennan Armstrong could be an interesting next year as well in the draft. He's out of Virginia. He had a really good year last year. Like, absolutely put up, I think he put up like some of the most yards in. He was up there with like Zappy and that. But this year he just like tanked a bit. So I think he's going in the transfer portal as well to see if he can rejuvenate. There's heaps of other guys as well. I think like that Sam Hartman or whatever out of UCF. I don't know if he's eligible this year or next year, but he's actually thrown like the second most amount of touchdowns over the last 2 years compared just behind CJ Stroud and just above Bryce Young there.
Yeah, so there's some good names floating about. Obviously, we're going to see a few guys get picked up and there might be a Brock Purdy kind of case eventually. But yeah, like there's not much outside those top guys. Looking through some of the other awards, and you mentioned this before, there's the Davey O'Brien Award for the best quarterback. Now, I don't understand how this works. Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud were the other finalists. Max Duggan is the winner. Now, when you've got a Heisman finalist and the best player in the country in Caleb Williams, I mean, does it make sense to give him this guy the award?
No, not at all. Especially when CJ Stroud clearly had a better year than Duggan anyway. So I don't even know where like that's coming from. Like TCU's year was built on their defense, not the offense.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There were games where like that Texas game, Duggan absolutely stunk. I think he had that many three and outs.
Yep.
And it just showed that like they're a good side. And when they got going, they were amazing. But he really needed it handed to him. Whereas I thought like guys like CJ, they had it. Obviously, when they had it handed to them, they did have it handed to them, but they went ham. But when they didn't, the only game that CJ faltered in was that Michigan game, and now he also gets the chance to go to the playoffs as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that one was a weird one for me. Doak Walker, best running back was Bijan Robinson. Corum probably a bit hard done by there.
Well, I think BJ played well for the whole year. Like, Corum did get injured towards that back end and missed a couple of weeks, but certainly I think Bijan really... He really carried that Texas team. Like, I think McCarthy or whatever, JJ, is it JJ McCarthy out at Michigan? Yeah, yeah. Because that Cade McNamara kid, he's the other one that transferred. He's going to Iowa, isn't he? He reckons he's going to be able to play offense in Iowa. Anyways, good luck to him. But look, I think McCarthy actually played really well this year as well. So they supported each other. Whereas I think Quinn stunk. And Bijan really, he just ran the Longhorns into some quiet victories. Just some amazing games for him, So I'm happy that he won. I really thought Blake was probably one of the best quarter running backs there and should have been up in the Heisman. But for me, Bijan was actually really good as well.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I was just reading this sort of little spiel about him. Like, I mean, it said, had a bigger impact as a pass catcher, finishing the campaign with 314 yards and two touchdowns on 19 receptions. Eclipsed 100 rushing yards in all but three games this year and topped the 200 mark in two of his four appearances in November. I mean, that's domination. So I can understand that. Looking at the next award offensively, no-brainer, Jalen Hyatt for the Biletnikoff. As of today, he has nominated for the draft, so he will not be playing in the Orange Bowl, neither will Cedric Tillman. So it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee roll out.
Well, there's pretty much no point because, like, who's your QB at the moment? Like, he's probably not going to be able to catch anything anyway.
Oh, yeah, smoking Joe Milton. So the man's got an arm on him. So, I mean, look, that's the future for next year, him and Nico Lamalieva or whatever his name is. But, yeah, Jalen Hyatt, I mean, it's a no-brainer that he won that. He is an excellent receiver, but... Again, it's a weird one with receivers. You always like you see guys put up flashy numbers and you see all this thing in college, but then they're not the guys that are ranked at the top of the draft boards. Like there's guys that you just don't see jump off the page, but they must just have the body type, the intangibles to be those top receivers.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that, certainly a lot comes down to your scouting combines and things like that. You've got too many Staleys running around, especially at those GM positions. They are all analytic nerds. These guys have never like sat and just felt the vibe of a player sometimes, where you look at just a guy that can control the situation and, you know, above all odds, just beat what is, you know, that just raw talent, that raw sort of like height, speed, where sometimes magic happens and these guys like higher just bring that along.
Yeah, absolutely. Going through a few more of the other awards, we see Will Anderson won the Bednarik Award for the best defensive player, but the Ray Guy Award, best punter, has to be a shout out to Adam Corsack, the punt god. He is unbelievable.
Yeah, what's the go with him, like out of Rutgers? Did he like top the college records or whatever?
I think he had a negative net return yards this year. So there no one returned anything against him. He led his position in punts downside inside the 20 and ranked 30 with 75 total punts. So 75 total punts, 35 fair catches. I mean, the kid can kick. He's just been unbelievable since. So I don't know if he'd be the first one off the board, because he wasn't actually the All-American first pick punter, which I think people were blowing up about, especially a couple of the guys from Pokick, Johnny and well, maybe not.
Johnny
was
sense,
posting something about it. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, if you've got a negative net receiving yards, rushing, returning yards, something's going right for your punting.
Yeah. Well, those guys are doing good at the moment. He's obviously elected for the draft. I saw Lou Headley is elected as well. I don't know
James
if there are a few other guys.
Look, there's going to be names out there. Punters don't normally get taken, as we're fully aware. A couple have been taken this year, our Ravens for one, but... Yeah, I think Corsack could get taken in the first seven rounds.
No, it's exciting. We'll see what happens. And there's obviously a couple other guys that I've seen are getting committed over there, because obviously it's turning into off season now. A lot of those signing days are popping up as soon as you can handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an exciting time for some of these guys that are going to start traveling across America. I saw Oregon nailed one today. They've got landed another Aussie to succeed Tom Snee. So look, it's an exciting time for these boys. Look, the NFL is really hitting its peak at the moment. College is kind of trailing off, which is we're kind of getting into the college a fair bit. So that's a bit of a hard one for us. We really started liking that. But yeah, your season's kind of already over in the NFL. So we're starting to look forward to draft, aren't we?
Well, we can't even draft. We've got nothing. Like, it's just fuck them picks, as they said. And we
correct
ourselves in the ass.
Yeah, I was trying to cheap little dig there. So. Look, we are back this week. We're excited for some good football this year. This week, I think the Sunday slate of games we're excited about, because we don't normally get a Sunday matchup, so we're kind of keen to park on the couch for that one.
I'm excited, especially these next couple of weeks. Like, they're going to be a hullabaloo. So I know I've got my Christmas party this Saturday. I'll see what happens. I've got a bit of a day stuff and I roll in hot and then just perched myself up on the couch. You're absolutely laughing.
Yeah, correct. Zinger box in hand, watching the Ravens Browns leading into Dolphins Bills. I don't think you can name a better Sunday for me.
Nah, tell me how it gets better. But this is the life we lead. Look, that probably about wraps us up this week. Shall we see you next week?
Yeah, it's good to be back. So, yeah, keep tuning in and we will see you next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.